God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. God spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings of this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in the new heaven and the new earth, in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Really just take a breath for a minute. On Friday, just take a little breath there. And let's reflect on something that I think God does so remarkably well, as he does everything well. He presents to us the fact that the people who are running things are not only not any smarter than we are, they might be less, and I say across the board. I think he presents that to us in ways multiple. And I personally believe it's because they are completely unmoored from his word and completely then divorced from the vine from which all true wisdom flows. And so they flounder. And unfortunately, that floundering can have this effect of affecting us because they are right now the bosses in charge. They're not leaders. They're bosses. I also, though, operate with the knowledge that God is a God of order. We can see this in the physical realm, that God has created enormously complicated and yet brilliantly elegant order. From the way the planets move about in this not circular orbit, this egg-shaped orbit, all of them layered on top of one another, the timing to perfection. We can see this in the order of the species. It's not a surprise that we're able to go through species, phylum, order, that we're able to look at an animal and say it belongs in this category, with few exceptions. God is a God of order. God built the world in a very specific order. God created a Bible through men, written through men, inspired by him, that's a book of order. And if you think about it, the Bible is really a way that we are to treat one another. Everything in it flows from those two commandments the Lord Jesus said are the most important. Love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. The second being like it, love your neighbor like yourself. Those were relational orders. In other words, how to have ordered relationships. So God is not a God of chaos. The enemy wants chaos. So I have this theory. I name it this. The theory is called the it's not chaos theory. Okay, when chaos rules, you'll have chaotic results. So for instance, if you run a restaurant and your cooks are incompetent buffoons, you'll have chaotic results. We don't have chaotic results. All the errors, all the missteps happen in specific directions. Our country is going through a culture revolution, being put through it. We are switching groups. The hallmark of a culture revolution is to take groups that you have determined or traditionally, quote, marginalized and show them you're getting revenge. Stay with us. You're going to have a chance to smash the face of your enemy. It's absolutely typical of culture revolutions that you do that. It's not chaotic that at the same time as the people who run Joe Biden are funding both sides of the war in Israel, which makes us arms dealers. I say that without a hint of frustration with our troops. Fully support them completely, absolutely. They're doing as they're told. I say that with the knowledge that we're arms dealers. This is a war of choice. It's also not a mistake to listen to the words of Kamala Harris. So Jewish students have been forced to hide away on college campuses. Jews have been attacked on camera. Student groups at Harvard have endorsed the murder of Jewish civilians. And students have chanted for genocide against Jews. So here's what Kamala Harris announced.
And today, we take another important step forward in our fight against hate. For years, Muslims in America and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. As a result of the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, we have seen an uptick in anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic incidents across America. And so today, I am proud to announce the Biden-Harris administration will develop our nation's first national strategy to counter Islamophobia. This strategy will be a comprehensive and detailed plan to protect Muslims and those perceived to be Muslim from hate, bigotry, and violence, and to address the concern that some government policies may discriminate against Muslims. For example, the so-called Muslim ban, which President Biden revoked on our first day in office.
They're back to Trump. She spoke one true word. There is an uptick of violence against Jews. From 2022 data from the FBI, so-called hate crimes, anti-Muslim 158, anti-Sikh 181, anti-Jewish 1,122. It's not a mistake. It's not chaos. They're demonstrating to people they are importing into this country legally and illegally, people who are, through their ideology, their theocracy, inclined to hate America. Not all of them, but all too many. She's saying, you're going to get a chance to smash faces. An ungodly approach. It's not chaos. See, the errors all go in one way. We've learned that Tony Fauci had a lab in Montana that was receiving coronavirus from the Wuhan lab in China. They were doing experiments on it here a year before they announced how dangerous the COVID flu was. Now, it had already been in the wild for about 2 years prior to that. This is another instance of Fauci lying to continue to do whatever he wanted to do with coronaviruses. And, of course, we know, at least I know, and the evidence absolutely indicates that Rand Paul says the case is closed. We paid our money to the Chinese Communist Party to make viruses more dangerous. Then came the injections. That was chaos, right? It's just chaos. Boy, they just were sloppy, right? No, that's not true. The not chaos theory shows that all the errors went in one way. All the errors made the injections more deadly. If you have a bakery and everyone there is incompetent, sometimes the cakes will be brilliant. Sometimes they'll be undercooked and terrible. Sometimes they'll be overcooked and terrible. Sometimes they won't rise. In the case of Fauci, as in the case of Cammie, all the so-called mistakes go one way. All their stupidity results in one thing. It's not stupidity in the case of Fauci. Steve Kirsch, who used to be a Democrat bundler, and he came to awakening politically. I wish he'd come awakening to awakening with God, but when he came to awake politically, it was because of COVID. No one in the Democrat Party would talk to him about this, despite the fact that he was responsible for giving them billions of dollars. Well, that got his attention. He paid for that access. That was his. He did a poll, 500 people, and asked, do you know how many people in your family died from the injections? The results he got have a great, great degree of significance. It's, in fact, 10 to 12 times as likely that people in this report are talking about their folks died from the injections than from the flu. The number is probably more like 30, but that's colloquial. That's a poll, except for this. The results of the poll show exactly the same thing as physical examinations. Let me explain. The more injections people had, the more they died, without regard to age or existing conditions. Across the board, more injections equals more deaths. Again, it's a poll, but it matches exactly to what Dr. Peter McCullough and three colleagues found in a peer-reviewed paper where they examined autopsy results, re-examined, re-interviewed, and they found the same exact thing. This is how we've arrived at the number of 17 million people being killed from these injections. It's not chaos. It's not a mistake. Dr. Michael Yeadon had been a VP at Pfizer, and he's had an awakening. He said early on, just looking at the design of these drugs, A, they're not going to work. B, they're probably going to be deadly. And he goes on and talks from time to time with Dr. Drew. So as I said, Dr. Michael Yeadon designed drugs for Pfizer. He might know how to tell what they were designed to do to people.
All four companies, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer, all chose the same parts of this so-called COVID-19 virus. They all chose the same parts. They all chose the bit that sticks out the outside called spike protein. So a couple of things here. If I was leading a drug discovery team, and I did dozens of times, the chances that my peers in the other company will come up with the same solution is remote, to tell the truth. And you would never pick this. Why would you not pick this? We knew from previous work that the spike proteins that stick out from the outside of these microorganisms are biologically active. They can trigger blood coagulation, and they are neurally toxic. They should have picked, if you believe the story about viruses, and I have significant concerns, but if we just go with the narrative, you would definitely, definitely not pick the part of the virus that is biologically active. And the fact that all four drug companies did it, it's a black swan event.
He goes on to say that he thinks, and Dr. Drew asked him, you think this is on purpose, harming people on purpose? And he went on to say yes and confirm that. All the patterns go the same way. That's not chaos. It's not incompetence. It's too consistent. Incompetence reeks of chaos, creates chaos. Chaos creates chaotic results. They did never accidentally make the injections more healthy. Randy, we're going to skip ahead one sound clip here. It's not just the COVID injections. It's not just Kamala Harris. It's not just an open border. The chaos that's not chaos is evident everywhere, particularly in the medical industrial complex, which bears great comparison to the military industrial complex, and not in a good way. So count me among those who no longer trust any vaccine. Oh, we're not going to have time for this? Okay, when we come back, I want you to hear from a person who is called the godmother of vaccines. We come back, I want you to hear, as she is under questioning from a lawyer, and what they're questioning is, do these injections cause autism? Now, again, if you take my not chaos theory, then we would have chaotic results. But she goes under this line of questioning, and she's an expert in how to conduct clinical trials. She is, in fact, conducted most of the clinical trials related to this exact topic. In fact, most of the trials conducted on MMR vaccines, she ran. So the lawyer goes through a very, very careful line of questioning, asking her about how are the trials conducted? How do you select the people who are in the trials? How do you make sure that you have a blind group? How do you make sure that you have a placebo group? How many people within the placebo group and the blind group? And he goes through this process of asking these very broad questions and then narrows it down to one very, very specific question for her about studies that we were told proved the vaccines didn't cause autism. Prove that. Do you remember you've heard that? How many times have you heard, oh no, that's been studied. All the studies show that the vaccines don't cause autism. Well, again, in the it's not chaos theory, this can't be chaos because they know too much about how studies work. She does not like the answer she gives because she's apparently bullied into telling the truth. So you hear that next on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. appreciate you listening to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Lots to get to, and we, in the last segment, we're exploring this theory by which I operate, and it's based upon the fact that God is a God of order. He is not a God of disorder. We can look at this in the stars in the heavens. We can look at this in our DNA, the design of species. You can read it in the Word. Of course, the whole Bible is about how to have well-ordered relationships with others, how to manifest love. What does love mean? Everything about its order. That's God's characteristic. Satan is an entity of chaos and hatred and confusion. He wants to confuse us, to distract us, to cause depression, to distort things, to move us away from God. And we looking right now at government that can seem so, so stupid. And in fact, I believe there are people there who've just been rendered unwise because they're apart from the vine. Therefore, that they trust themselves. They're the gods now. We'll be your gods now. They've said as much. The World Economic Forum people are famous for saying, we'll be your gods now. So we're looking at their results. If you are operating in incompetence, you're going to get chaos. Chaos is always a chaotic result. So if you have, I was using the instance of a bakery. If you own a bakery and you hire completely incompetent people, sometimes they're going to get cakes that are beautiful. Hey, you did it right by accident. You know, a stop clock is right twice a day. You're going to get cakes that are too soft, too hard, overcooked, undercooked. They don't rise. It's going to be a myriad of results. That's not what we see. They didn't forget how to close the border. That's not a mistake. That's not incompetence. They didn't forget how to screen the people coming here. They didn't forget that you don't fund both sides of the war unless you want the war to get worse. They didn't forget that. That's not chaos. This is design. And it's never been more clear to me that the medical industrial complex has taken a lot of lessons from the military industrial complex. The more scary the disease is, the more money we can make. Hence now 47 some vaccinations for kids. And I'm not here to browbeat or you make your decisions based on this. I'm just looking at patterns, and the patterns are not flattering for these people, not at all. This woman is called the godmother of vaccines, and that should tell us something in and of itself. And she was under she was being deposed, so she's under oath here. The lawyer's done a fantastic job of starting with broad questions, ascertaining her expertise and how many clinical trials have you run. And it's my understanding she's run a majority of these clinical trials for the MMR vaccines. And he then works his way down into this question. The allegation in the suit and what they're seeking information on is, do these injections, these vaccines, do they cause autism? And he gets her down to a point where she says she is bullied into telling the truth, bullied into speaking truth. So, Randy, will you roll that clip for us right now with the godmother of vaccines?
So it sounds like, you know, you would agree there weren't they probably, as you said, are unlikely to be improperly powered, and they would have needed to review safety long enough as well to determine, to capture enough children in the experimental and control group that had or didn't have autism in order to make an assessment of whether the product caused autism, correct?
Yes, sir. If an adverse event were to occur associated with vaccines, that if it were an uncommon event and if it was not diagnosed until later, then you would need a larger number of sample size and a longer period to assess that. I am not saying, however, by answering yes to your questions, that I believe that vaccines cause autism. So I just want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying.
Never asked that question. Absolutely. I think the record's clear on that. How long would safety have to be tracked in the clinical trials relied upon to license the vaccines Yeast received in order for them to have determined whether the vaccine caused autism?
Objective form the question. You may answer, doctor, if you have the answer.
I'm not going to answer it. I've already answered the question.
I don't recall that you have not provided any period of time. Are you saying you don't know the period of time?
I said.
Please.
I said that the studies that were involved in the licensure of MMR did not provide an adequate number of patients that had been followed for 4 years to determine the rare event that would happen 4 years after vaccination. That's what I'm saying.
According to your profile, you have done most of the pivotal trials relied upon to license many of the vaccines, correct, on the market?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're highly experienced in conducting clinical trials, correct?
I'm highly experienced conducting clinical trials.
Okay. And you're familiar with many of the clinical trials that relied upon to license many of the vaccines currently on the market, correct?
I am.
Okay. In your opinion, did the clinical trials relied upon to license the vaccines that Yates received, many of which are still on the market today, were they designed to rule out that the vaccine causes autism?
No. You've badgered me into answering the question the way you want me to, but I think that that's probably the answer.
Is that your accurate and truthful testimony?
Yes.
Thank you.
She was badgered into speaking her true and accurate testimony. That's something to behold. You badgered me into telling the truth. These trials, these experiments, these studies were never designed to rule out autism. The studies and the trials of the COVID injections were never designed to surface the fact that they kill people in the long run. The more shots, the more injections, the more death. They were never designed to reveal that. They didn't really test them on pregnant women. See, it's not chaos. An open border is not designed to keep people out. That's not chaos. Funding both sides of a war, that's not chaos. That's a decision. Oh, it's confusion. It's ungodly. Well, it's not chaos because the patterns are so clear. Likewise with this, it is vital that when we discuss things in relation to being in the world and not of it, because that's what we're called to be. It's vital that when we talk about the topic we're about to discuss, is first of all, I give people a heads up. If you're listening with children, we're going to talk about some abuse of children for 2 or 3 minutes. And I'll give you another warning before we do it, just so you know. And I'll not use, obviously, terrible language. We wouldn't do that. An AFR wouldn't do that. So we're going to get to that. But it's vital that we say that people can have the sin life of someone, have the sin of acting upon same-sex attraction. And they can be dynamic people. And we all know people like that who are wonderful people. They may not know the Lord, but they're good people, and there's a difference. Okay? There is an eternal difference. So it's vital that we say that. It's vital that we do not make the case that acting upon same-sex attraction is any worse than acting upon the desire to have sexual relations with someone outside of your marriage. This one is not worse than the other. It's vital for us to admit that we all have sin with which we struggle. And it's vital to admit that we ourselves have to, if we walk with the Lord Jesus, have to practice self-control when our flesh tells us to go have something. Okay, we have to have that self-control. And we get that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to control ourselves in ways that we couldn't do without the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're completely divorced from the vine, utterly divorced, and Satan has utter ownership over you, there are no limits on appetite. And again, we can look at patterns. We can look at cities like San Francisco and we could look at patterns. Is it stupidity and chaos that's led to those cities being so overrun by fentanyl deaths and rapes and murders? And no, it's not. There are definitely some people there who have allowed themselves to become stupid by being just in the world, absolutely, not in the world, but absolutely of the world. And their own brilliance and their own wisdom and their own desires. And if my flesh wants something, it must be good. We can look at that pattern and say, okay, all these errors happen in the same way. This is not chaos necessarily. It's chaotic, but it's not from chaos. Someone has a design on that city. Someone has a design that that city and these cities like that become a place where anything goes. So then you create a culture of anything goes. This is the part where we're going to talk about some child abuse for about 2 minutes. Got it? Go. You remember the case of Zachary and William Zulock? They were allowed to adopt two sons. They were 9 and 11 years old. They then went about raping those boys on film, with one man doing most of the raping, the other man doing most of the filming. Then they took those boys and let other men rent their bodies for sex. They bragged about it. They showed videos of it. They were in Snapchat sessions and other digital sessions with one man saying, hey, I'm going to rape my son tonight. He didn't use the word rape. He used another very foul word tonight. Want to watch? Want to come over? They don't represent the same-sex attracted community. They don't. They represent a community where anything goes. If your flesh wants it, you take it. Fentanyl, rape, stealing, assault, burning a building down. If you want it, you do it. Surely you won't die. Someone is planning. So I don't believe this is why Elon Musk, who works in San Francisco, I don't believe this is why Elon Musk bought Twitter. But he's right about the spread of San Francisco morals to the greater world and about Twitter's role in that.
If you've walked around downtown San Francisco, right near the ex-FKA Twitter headquarters, it's a zombie apocalypse. I mean, it's rough. Have you been in that area?
Not lately. No. Yeah. I've heard.
It's crazy.
I've heard it's crazy. I've heard you really can't believe it until you actually go there.
You can't believe it until you go there. So now you have to say, well, what philosophy led to that outcome? And that philosophy was being piped to Earth. You know, a philosophy that would be ordinarily quite niche and geographically constrained, so that the fallout area would be limited, was effectively given an information weapon, information technology weapon to propagate what is essentially a mind virus to the rest of Earth. And the outcome of that mind virus is very clear if you walk around the streets of downtown San Francisco. It is the end of civilization.
And it's not just propagating the mind virus, but suppressing any opposing viewpoints.
Yes. Well, in order for the virus to propagate, it must suppress opposing viewpoints. So,
because it doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
Correct.
That was, of course, Elon Musk. And if you didn't recognize the other voice, that was Joe Rogan on the biggest podcast in the world. It's clear the virus is spreading. The ACLU has targeted a Tennessee law that was aimed at reducing HIV transmission in prostitutes. They don't want it reduced because it would stigmatize. It's so good that there are young people confronting this. We had a young man who goes by Redeem Zoomer on the show, and he's leading an effort to save mainstream Protestant churches from failing or from falling to theological leftism. On the 31st, his group, which is called Reconquista, issued notices to churches that they must follow the Bible to be Christ's churches.
The most Protestant thing to do is to protest and reform your church when it's not following the Bible. And on this very day, Reformation Day, over 1,000 Protestants of many different denominations have united to speak out against the problems facing all of our churches. This movement has grown rapidly in less than a year so far, but in order to make lasting change and revive our beloved churches, we need people to know what we're doing. We need to awaken the world to this movement that is rising. That's why today, each of the organizations we founded sent 95 theses to their respective denominations, calling for a return to biblical faithfulness. We pray that these will ignite a reformation, just like Martin Luther's 95 theses did.
And where it was legal, they actually took these theses and they taped them to the doors of these many churches, actually calling attention to the fact that God is a God of order, that the Bible does contain the unchanging, unchangeable word of God. And he showed us, here's how to approach me. In the Old Testament, approaching God the wrong way could get you fried. In the new way, of course, there's the one approach, and that's through the Lord Jesus. And there's still a way to approach the Lord Jesus, although it's not as constricted as it was in the Old Testament times. And we're not at risk of being roasted if we make a mistake going to the Lord Jesus. So all of this adds up into, it's not chaos. The country's being put through a cultural revolution. Someone's at the head of that. The results are not chaotic, it's ruining life. Satan hates human life. And still, even with this, we see people falling for it. Well, it's our job that fewer fall. We'll come back with the Tower of Babeling. I'm Todd Herman, this is The Disciples' View. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is a headline, and gosh, it's a frightening headline, isn't it? It's about Idaho. Our governor, Brad Little, is kind of a nominal Republican. He does some decent things. And I've heard many people tell me, Todd, you misunderstand our governor. He's a decent guy. He's also owned by pharma. And we continue to run ads here to get injected and continue to hear Fox News propaganda about that. But he's done some decent things. And none more decent than stopping the chemical and surgical mutilation of kids here in Idaho. Thank you, Governor Little. He has ruled against, or actually signed an order, a bill, rather, into law, to prevent boys from using girls' showers and locker rooms. Thank you to the legislature. Thank you to Governor Little. Appreciate you doing that. And another law he passed is to make it punishable to traffic kids who are citizens of Idaho into other states for the purposes of abortion or wrong sex hormones and sexual and chemical mutilation. So Governor Little was caused to do this because this one of the states next door, Washington State, which is a fallen state. It is a separate country. I say that because it has nothing in common with the United States. And I know that my friends and family in Eastern Washington say, oh, please, please make us different, separate us. We want to join Idaho. Okay, I recognize you're more conservative. So he passed this, he signed this into law. So it's illegal to traffic kids outside of Idaho in order to get around the law prohibiting these activities. So here's the headline. Abortion Every Day Exclusive. Idaho has brought forward charges in the state's first abortion trafficking case. Law enforcement used geolocation data to place a teenager at an Oregon abortion clinic. Oh gosh, they're going to punish that teenager. Wow. Quite a world we live in. Oh, there's some detail. Greg Price is a great conservative commentator on Twitter and puts up great videos and works in politics and somehow apparently keeps his soul. I've never met Greg. We have friends in common. Greg points this out. He writes, quote, "What this person left out of the story in her tweet is that an 18-year-old and his mother were arrested because he raped a 15-year-old, got her pregnant, then they proceeded to transport her across state lines to have an abortion, all without the knowledge of the girl's parents. Oh. Oh, goodness. Well, that's almost like it changes the whole nature of the story, isn't it? Believe all girls. Chaos or pattern? There is a dividing line between the many states. My belief? I believe God is calling his people out of Egypt. If you live in these separate countries, I beg you to pray if you should live in those separate countries. You could call it a retreat, or you could call it a regrouping. But I beg you to pray about it. Maybe you're to be there. Maybe that's your mission. Maybe that's where God wants you on mission. Maybe that's your mission field. If so, wear the armor of God. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Thank you again for another great introduction to this. I'm enjoying those. So Secretary of State Tony Blinken, who is funding both sides of the war in Israel and with Hamas, and is funding, of course, Iran, making us effectively arms dealers. Anthony Blinken could have simply said, no, we did not fund the October 7 Hamas massacre of civilians, but he won't.
Can you guarantee us that no taxpayer money, no U.S. taxpayer money, went to fund the attack that Hamas delivered in Israel on October the 7th?
So we have, and we've had from day one, and we'll get back to you in response to this letter, a robust monitoring, inspection, verification system for the assistance that goes to any international organization, and including...
Can you guarantee, though, that U.S. taxpayer dollars didn't go to Hamas to help fund this attack on October the 7th?
So everything that we're doing in terms of making sure that the assistance is used for purposes for which it's designated, not for other purposes, as I said, we have a robust system in place.
Can I share my concern, Mr. Secretary, to be more specific about this? In May of 2021, I traveled to Israel after the 11-day war. I met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, with his national security advisor. They briefed me and my team on the fact that every humanitarian aid dollar, every foreign aid dollar that goes into Gaza is controlled by Hamas. They either direct it, they tax it, or they divert it. They even take pipes intended for the water system for civilians and turn those into rockets that are aimed at Israel. We've seen Hamas's own videos demonstrating this. So I'm going to come back and ask you, can you guarantee that U.S. taxpayer dollars weren't used in October 7th attack?
What I guarantee is that we take every possible precaution to ensure that these resources are not diverted.
It doesn't work anymore. That stuff doesn't work anymore. He is saying no, and everybody knows he's saying no. He just won't say no. That's the first clip of three for the Tower Babbling. And look, Secretary Blinken, you're a babbler. It's not effective any longer. And it's not accidental, unfortunately. This is another second clip, Tower Babbling today. Disgraced Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. He could simply apologize for employing pro-Hamas employees at the Department of Homeland Security, but he didn't, and Senator Josh Hawley responded.
An employee of the Department of Homeland Security who posted these comments on October the 7th. That's not all she posted. She also posted this graphic. Now, this is a fake graphic, I want to be clear, but I think we understand it. This is a paraglider, a Hamas paraglider, depicted here with a machine gun flying into Israel. She posted it under her online alias with the celebratory Free Palestine. Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these frankly pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
What have you done? This person works for the Department of Homeland Security. Have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide, and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question?
It's a despicable act that Mayorkas is still employed, Alejandro Mayorkas. His behavior in front of Congress and the Senate is not an accident. It's a sign of arrogance. It's a communication. It's a deep state message of, yeah, we're still running things. If God blesses us with a Republican president and a Republican majority, I'm going to know on day 90 if they're serious, if they absolutely gut the deep state. And there's ways to do that. Last clip in the Tower of Babbling. Congressman George Santos survived the vote over expelling him from Congress. Here's audio of the last guy expelled, James Traficant.
What's happened to us, Congress? Am I different? Yeah. Have I changed my pants? No. Deep down, you know you want to wear wider bottoms. You're just not secure enough to do it. Do I wear skinny ties? Yeah. Coach, wide ties make me look heavier than I am, and I'm heavy enough. Do I do my hair with a weed whacker? I admit.
It is funny. And on the topic of George Santos, he's a blatant liar. He's blatantly disconnected from the vine. He is the lie. Oh, he is different by nature of lie, number of lies, but not by lying. We're a nation funding both sides of a war. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
A silent mouth is sweet to hear.
On a Disciple's View.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to break out that way. That's not even professional to break out that way. And laughter. That's a great ending. A note from David as we wrap up the show. David writes, good morning. I love the podcast. I listen daily on my morning commute. This morning while listening, it struck me that you talk a great deal about accepting the free gift of salvation through Christ and baptism. It seems that you equate the two. No baptism, no salvation. Based on your understanding of Scripture, I trust that you don't believe you have to be baptized. I have been. In order to be saved. However, it does come across that way at times. Keep up the amazing work for the kingdom. And incidentally, David was responding to a note to a program I did on my podcast. You can subscribe to my podcast. It's called The Todd Herman Show. You can subscribe at Spotify or iTunes, and then the show just shows up on your phone. And you can listen while you drive. You could also go to thetoddhermanshow.com. I did a show in a long, long show about why has Satan changed tactics. We've touched on that here. On the podcast, we go a lot deeper on things because you can do that. Live radio, you have to make sure that you cover a great bit of ground because people are kind enough to tune in and they need to get a great bit of information. So he's responding to that. So David, I want to thank you for the note, first of all. No, I do not believe that one must be baptized to be saved. Here's how I would defend that position. The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross did not have time to be baptized. I know. The Lord could have, in fact, said, okay, let's take a pause. But he didn't. He didn't have time to commit any acts, did he? He had just recognized, while on the cross next to the Lord Jesus, he and his fellow criminal who went the other way continued to mock the Lord Jesus. The thief on the cross who came to understand who Jesus was and is only had time to express that. The innocence of Christ. He didn't even say, this is my Lord and Savior. He didn't even say, this is the Messiah. He didn't use any of the so-called magic language. He recognized who Jesus was and is. He didn't have time to perform works. Or did he? Works are the result of an inner change, the fruits of the Spirit acting through us result in changed activities. The thief on the cross testified. He testified to his former partner in crime. We here deserve our fate. This man is innocent. He deserves none of this. He testified. He showed at that moment, the Lord Jesus showed through him, that even at that second, redemption was available to him, if he would but ask. So no, I do not believe that the waters of baptism carry any magic. And I know that the Lord Jesus told us, he didn't suggest, he didn't say, hey, if you have some time and get around to it, and you feel like doing it, why don't you baptize some folks? But in the way you want to. That's not what he said. The Lord Jesus said, baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to follow all I've commanded you. For surely I will be with you even until the end of the age. So what I believe about baptism is the Lord wanted us to do it, that the Lord himself was baptized, that the Lord himself was immersed. So I choose to follow the model of the Lord. I choose to love the act of baptism, the significance of dying and being raised a new being in the Lord Jesus. But I don't disagree with you, David. I appreciate the note. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until God allows us to speak again. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. May the Lord Jesus be with you. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.